Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Good Food Revolution, Growing Healthy Food, People, and Communities is a memoir, social history, and urban agriculture account by Will Allen, written with Charles Wilson. It follows Allen's unconventional path from professional basketball and corporate management into farming, and uses that journey to examine how food systems shape health, race, labor, and community life. The book is centered on growing power in Milwaukee, the urban farming organization Allen built into a widely admired model for growing produce, raising fish, composting waste, and teaching others. Rather than offering a narrow how-to manual, it combines personal narrative with practical lessons about urban farming and food justice. Its purpose is to argue that access to fresh food is not just a matter of taste or consumer choice, but a structural issue tied to inequality, public health, and local economic resilience. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, Will Allen's personal reinvention as the foundation of the book. A major strength of the book is the way it uses Allen's own life story to frame the larger argument about food systems. He does not begin as a traditional farmer, which makes his return to agriculture more revealing than a standard farming memoir. His background in professional sports, business, and corporate leadership shows how unexpected experiences can feed an agricultural mission. This matters because the book is not trying to romanticize farming as a simple rural ideal. Instead, it presents farming as a serious form of leadership, problem-solving, and public service. Allen's career shift also helps explain why the narrative feels broader than a manual. The story is built around change in identity. A person who once tried to distance himself from farming later comes to see agriculture as a way to repair community damage. That turn gives the book its emotional force and its central claim that returning to the land can also mean reclaiming social responsibility. Secondly, growing power as a working model of urban food production. The book's most concrete institutional focus is growing power. The Milwaukee-based organization Allen developed into a demonstration site for urban agriculture. The organization is important not only as a local success story, but as a test case for how food can be produced inside cities under limited space and difficult social conditions. Allen describes methods associated with intensive urban farming such as composting, aquaponics, soil rebuilding, and integrated production systems. These practices show that food production in cities does not have to imitate rural agriculture in order to be productive. The book emphasizes efficiency, recycling, and layered use of space, turning waste streams into resources and small plots into highly functional systems. This is one reason the book stands out in its genre. It shows urban farming as an ecosystem, rather than as isolated garden beds. The practical message is that food access can be improved through locally designed systems that also create education, employment, and environmental repair. Thirdly, food justice, racial history, and the legacy of Black agriculture. Another central topic is the relationship between food and racial inequality in American history. Allen connects his work to the historical decline of Black farmers, the Great Migration, and the long afterlife of slavery and sharecropping. This gives the book a historical depth that goes beyond contemporary food activism. Food is treated as part of a larger story about displacement, labor extraction, and limited access to power. By framing himself as a reluctant inheritor of an agricultural past, Allen shows how African-American relationships to farming were shaped by trauma as well as skill and resilience. The book also points toward public health disparities, linking lack of access to fresh food with conditions such as obesity and diabetes in underserved communities. This makes the argument explicitly structural. Poor diets are not explained as individual failure, but as the consequence of unequal food environments. The result is a book that treats urban farming as a response to racial history, as much as an economic or environmental intervention. Fourthly, education, youth employment, and community rebuilding through food work. The book repeatedly shows that growing power was never just about producing vegetables. It was also a training ground for young people, and a place where community members could gain practical skills, responsibility, and visibility. This educational dimension is essential to Allen's argument because he treats food production as a form of civic learning. Farm work becomes a way to teach patience, cooperation, and ecological awareness, while also giving participants tangible roles in local improvement. The book suggests that urban agriculture can help interrupt cycles of disconnection by linking residents to food, labor, and neighborhood institutions. It is important that Allen does not present this as charity alone. The model depends on participation and shared ownership of outcomes. That approach makes the book especially relevant to readers interested in community development, workforce training, or youth engagement. It argues that healthy food systems can be built only when people are also given knowledge, responsibility, and a reason to invest in place. Lastly, the limits and realism of social entrepreneurship in the food system. The Good Food Revolution is notable for its honesty about the challenges of trying to change food systems from the ground up. While the book is hopeful, it is not naive about the financial pressures, organizational strain, and long-term fragility involved in building a mission-driven enterprise. This makes it different from books that treat urban agriculture as an easy solution. Alan's experience shows that even admired projects can face instability when they try to balance community goals, production demands, and economic survival. That realism gives the book analytical weight. It invites readers to think about what it actually takes to sustain a local food institution over time, not just to launch one. The implication is that food justice requires more than enthusiasm or pilot projects. It needs durable structures, public support, and long-term commitment. In this way, the book is both inspirational and cautionary, offering a grounded view of social entrepreneurship as a difficult but necessary path towards systemic change. In conclusion, The Good Food Revolution will be most useful to readers interested in urban farming, food justice, public health, community development, and social entrepreneurship. It also suits readers who prefer nonfiction that combines memoir with policy-relevant insight. The book offers practical value by showing how composting, aquaponics, and small-scale intensive growing can be part of a larger neighborhood strategy, but its deeper contribution is intellectual. It explains why food access cannot be separated from race, labor, education, and local power. Compared with many books about sustainable agriculture, it is more personal and more historically grounded. Compared with many memoirs, it is more structurally aware and institutionally focused. Its distinctive achievement is that it treats farming not as a hobby or lifestyle preference, but as a serious mechanism for rebuilding communities. That combination of personal testimony, historical reflection, and operational detail makes it stand out in the urban agriculture and food justice category. If you would like to support Will Allen, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.